What is up, gamers? You are watching Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, December 14th. Let me just put my sword away. I am Tamor Hussein, and joining me is not Gary Witter. What? What's that, Kevin?
Why do you have a training blade?
Do you just keep a sword on you?
Yeah, I live by the sword. You always have to be ready.
God, you play Sekiro once and you change.
Once, blessing. Once.
You play Sekiro five times and you change.
Five, blessing, five. I'm
How
up
many
to
times
at
you
least.
Play Sekiro?
I am above 50. Easy clap.
Oh my goodness.
Easy.
I mean, as you should be. I still want to go back for playthrough two.
Yeah, you should. Everyone watching this came here looking for Gary, the Rogue One Witter. Let me tell you what happened to Gary. So Gary lives in a place where power fluctuates and it can be tricky. So what happened was his power went out. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the snakes took the opportunity in the darkness to come through. And let me tell you, they came through. They got him. They got member of his family as well.
Oh, no.
Not the baby included.
Sadly, and let me tell you, there are some electrically charged snakes rolling through Gary's area right now, which is a problem. But I've been informed that he is taking care of it. He's watched the episode of Simpsons where they whack the snakes for fun a bunch of times, and he's picked up some pointers.
You think that's the solution for the electrical issues?
Yeah. Just get snakes all over them.
Tam, can I tell you that I like your fit and your look today. Like, you got real undercover Avengers vibes.
Thank you. Yeah,
the black shirt, the hat, the bent brim hat. It's also black.
Yeah, I am doing the Captain America. I do not wish to be perceived right now.
Nobody recognize me, even though it's very obviously me.
Don't look at me.
Nobody else is built like Captain America. No, it can only be me. Hold on, I might match you real quick. You know,
let's go. So what we've done instead is we've pivoted. Kevin put a frenzied message in the Kind of Funny Slack and said, we need someone help. And it was with a little more confidence than that. And we had Blessing come through. And so today you were looking for the British invasion. You instead get Blessing. Forbes 30 under 30. Let me tell you, we were at the Game Awards together. And anytime Blessing met someone new, I was nearby, I stopped my conversation to walk over and be like, this is Forbes 30 under 30 Blessing Adeoye Jr. If you need money or financial advice, let him know. And then bounce.
Please do. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about because I literally just put my headphones on. But yesterday, and I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because here it is. Yesterday, there was a Forbes 30 under 30, get to know each other Zoom call with all the games folks on the games 30 under 30 list. Like, we're just hanging out, like introducing themselves and getting to know each other. And when I tell you that I've never felt so
was Jack Harlow there?
Jack Harlow wasn't there. But it was oh yeah, hey, I am the founder of XYZ app that you know of. I'm the founder. I founded another version of LinkedIn. I founded FanHouse. I did, and I'm sitting there I don't know, man. I talk about video games sometimes, and that was kind of my only intro. But it's really fun. Also, I don't know if you mentioned this already, but I got hit up 4 minutes ago to be on this show. And so when I tell you that I made my bed so quick and I was able to go from doing other work that I didn't need to be on camera prepared for to being now on camera presenting, mm-hmm. Man, we figured out this work from home situation.
So Blessing, I'm going to give you a tip. So one thing that I have started doing, because it's just more fun this way, is when I return home and I use this in a very specific scenario. When I see people that I used to go to school with and they're like, oh, what do you do right now? And they're people I don't really give a crap about. I'll tell them just the most bold-faced lie. And the thing is, it's fun because you have to try and sell it, and then you get to see whether you think they believe it. So there are at least three people that I used to go to school with that think that I came up with Miles Morales. So,
oh my god!
I came up with Miles Morales. Is what you were like? Yeah,
I was like, I've done. I say, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I came up with that main character. I'm also the creator of Kamala Khan. Okay.
Oh, that's genius.
I worked on Thor Ragnarok. So that's what I say you do. Just make shit up, man. Doesn't matter. Just tell everyone it's your birthday every day. Don't worry about it.
Every now and then, at parties, when I'm meeting somebody new, I'll introduce myself as Kanye West just to see their reaction. Just to see if they're like, oh shit, is this Kanye West? Or like, is this guy's name also Kanye West? I like to see how people react to that.
My favorite thing is like, some of them will no doubt go home and Google it. And they have no way to reach out and find me and to like tell me, you liar, because they ain't gonna see me again. I'm in another country later.
God, I love it.
Anyways,
crazy. I love it.
Today's stories include a last-minute Nintendo Indie World announcement, some console sales numbers, because we know everyone loves those, and a poster to celebrate one of the biggest gaming L's ever issued of all time. An L so hard that it crippled a company, but is now being celebrated. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday at 10 a.m., live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news that you need to know about, and I do it with a poorly sound insulated room. I'm working on it.
You sound great.
It doesn't sound bad at all.
The kids love to complain about it, but I'm just getting ahead of it.
You know the kids. They get ahead of it.
I love them. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong, which never happens, by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Forget the URL, it's not going to happen. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Go over there, subscribe, why not? Hit up roosterteeth.com or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. You can use the Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League. And if you're playing the new Fortnite season, chuck that code in and it helps us and it supports the channel. Easy. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, I mean, goddamn, one time, let it be a bad game of sweeping. This is the last week of regular content for the year 2021. Before Kinda Funny goes on a break. We're going on a break, baby. The Blacking Show will be the last piece of Kinda Funny Games content of the year. And that is going up on Monday the 20th. Well, we've got Blessing here. Round of applause for Blessing for absolutely phenomenal content.
Love to see it. And he comes quick too, you know. Got here real fast.
Yep, he's here. He's ready. Yeah, he's always.
You say that, Kevin.
What do you mean? We hit you up, and you were like, "I'll be right there." You came really fast.
A video of Kamala Harris saying, "Do not come. Do not come."
God damn. But I appreciate that also. Go watch The Blessing Show if you haven't.
Go watch The Blessing Show. P.S. I Love You XOXO. Episode 100 is out now, and it celebrates the milestone with the second annual PlayStation Awards for the year. That is live for everyone on now, right? It's right.
It's up right now.
It's on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcasts.
And it's Greg Miller's return also.
Yeah, and if you want a spoiler, all the awards go to a little game called Bloodborne.
There you go. Yeah, Bloodborne. You love to best see it. PlayStation best exclusive 2021.
You love to see it.
Best trophy list.
Best family game. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy, Blackjack, and Greg Miller returns to content next month. Nick should quit now. I have to do it with his energy, the Busan energy, as I like to call it. I'm sure my new neighbors are absolutely molding up there right now.
Dude, I always wonder this. Right, mm-hmm. Like, at what point are my neighbors gonna come through, knock on my door, and be like, "Yo, can you shut the fuck up?" Because like every day, I'm like, we get closer and closer to it.
Yeah,
that,
so like
that window too makes it really easy.
Yeah,
I hear them, so they for sure hear me.
Yeah, my neighbors are quiet all the day, and then at like 9 p.m., it sounds like they're doing live reenactments of the wooden clog scene from Jackie Chan's Who Am I? Where he's like fighting that guy who's very tall and he's got the wooden shoes on and he's trying to step on his feet. And it's just, it's infuriating. And that happens for like a solid hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know. If they are banging, they're doing some wild shit because that's not how it should work or sound.
Dude, there was one night where I could have sworn they were doing karaoke in like the apartment next to me with like a speaker system. It was incredible. I was like, and I wasn't mad because I'm noisy all the time because I'm doing podcasts and I'm Twitch streaming and doing that stuff. So I'm like, you do you. I'm never going to complain to you guys because have never hit me up about this. But like, I swear to God, there was a speaker system over there. They're throwing an event.
I opened one of my windows the other day and there's a neighbor in this building somewhere that started playing music and it was a Rihanna song. And I was like, oh shit, Rihanna, nice. I'm cool with that. And then like, I realized she was singing over Rihanna, but she sounded so good. I could not tell. It was just her singing instead of actually Rihanna. So I was like, oh my God, I've got like a superstar somewhere around here. And then
that person's name, Chastity.
Chastity. That person's name, Rihanna. She's moved to San Francisco. Let's kick it off with whatever. Today we're brought to you by Credit Karma. Okay,
you're almost there.
Green Chef and Butcher Box, but we'll tell you about that later. My brain is like shifting.
Right, I would have caught it. As soon as you would have finished, I would have thrown it in there. Damn, I got you.
I got it.
I know what hosting the show is like.
For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We've got four stories today.
Baker's Dozen.
It's a light one. Thank you, Kevin. I like the depth of that voice. That was good.
Thank you.
It's a light story today. First story comes from the number one video game website on the internet, and that is GameSpot.com, written by Jason Finelli. Nintendo Indie World presentation announced for December 15th. Nintendo has announced one final video presentation for the year, scheduling an Indie World presentation for tomorrow, December 15th at 9 a.m. PT. That is 12 p.m. PT. So, Blessing and Andy will be covering that no doubt tomorrow. The presentation will contain roughly 20 minutes of information on upcoming indie games headed to the Nintendo Switch, according to the official announcement. No other information, including how many games will feature or what some of them will be, was mentioned or teased with the announcement. This will be the first general Nintendo video presentation since the September 23rd Nintendo Direct, which revealed Monster Hunter Rise's expansion, Sunbreak, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Bayonetta 3, and Super Mario Bros. Movie cast, the great Chris Prattening, as we like to call it. There have been two game-focused presentations since the Direct. First one was the Sora reveal for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and then the Animal Crossing New Horizons Direct that revealed the game's last free update, as well as the paid Happy Home Paradise expansion. The announcement also marks the first Indie World presentation since August 11th, which featured the Jet Set Radio-inspired Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, Metal Slug Tactics, and Shadow Drops for Boyfriend Dungeon, Necro Barista, Final Pour, and Axiom Verge 2. So, Blessing, are you excited for this? And what do you hope will be there? And what do you think are the chances that Hollow Knight Silksong will finally be there?
For that last one, I'm going to say not zero, but I wouldn't hope for it, because I feel like that is the thing that people say before every single presentation. Where is Hollow Knight Silksong? And it never shows up. I think Hollow Knight Silksong is going to show up at like a big event, because there's been so much hype built in for it. So I don't think it's going to show up at a Nintendo Indie World. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to see it tomorrow. But
what if it shadow dropped?
If it shadow dropped, then I could see it. But also, that'd be wild. I feel like I don't think you shadow drop that one. I think you build up hype, because like that's one that I think you want to have reviews for like the day before, and like you want to have that launch build towards it, because I think that is the type of title that has the potential to like be able to blow up on day one, because there's already a fan base for it and you already have people that I think are interested in it. Like when Hollow Knight Silksong comes out, I think I want to try it out, even though I didn't play the original Hollow Knight, just based off of how high people are on the original Hollow Knight. Like it makes me want to jump into the franchise. I think with that, I don't think you can just shadow drop it, at least in the way that it's like it's out today. Maybe if it's out next week,
I feel like you could do an out today with Silksong, because they have been edging people so hard for the last 2 years. Like I think people are ready to bust a nut for Hollow Knight Silksong. Like at a moment's notice, I feel like that's a power move for them. That game, I don't believe requires as much marketing as many other indie games would require. I feel like they could be like, we know you've been waiting for Hollow Knight Silksong, so here it is. It's out now, and it would crush servers everywhere.
I feel like for you as somebody who reviews games, what would that do for you?
It would be absolutely devastating. It would be devastating.
I feel like it would piss enough like media people off in terms of, oh, it's almost, it's like holiday time, and now I gotta cover this shit. Like, please don't do this to me.
I would have to approach one Jordan Ramey, who's a GameSpot. He's basically like, just please give me Hollow Knight. He's just a thin man now. He exists just for Hollow Knight, and every time I see him, he's frailer and frailer. But I'd have to be like, bro, I know you said you're off, but there's a Hollow Knight Silk song right now. You want to review it? I think the one thing that gives me pause about that happening is it's a multi-platform game. I feel like unless Nintendo secured an exclusive or timed exclusive, which I imagine we would know about by now, that feels like it would be upsetting to a lot of non-Nintendo fans. But you never know. It could be like it comes out on, and they say like, we're ready to drop it. It's out now. And then we get, you know, press releases from PlayStation and Xbox and Amazon Luna or whatever, and it's out there. What Stadia? Is Google Stadia still alive?
We're talking about this yesterday. I came to you about Google Stadia.
Let it die. It's fine. They didn't try that hard. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
But at least we have Luna. At least we have Luna. I think regarding this Nintendo Indie Showcase, in terms of my hype for it, I'm looking forward to it. You know, looking back at the previous one from August, the article you read shouted out some of the titles. But, like, it was a really good Indie Showcase, right? We got Bomb Rush, Cyberpunk. We got Axiom Verge 2 stuff. We got Eastward, which that was my introduction to Eastward. And that game looked really cool from that showing. Toem, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon, which turns out isn't a mobile game, even though I thought it was a mobile game. Metal Slug Tactics, like Tetris Effect Connected. Like Loop Hero coming to Switch, Boyfriend Dungeon, Necro Barista. I mean, that was a pretty stacked indie showcase. And I think when it comes to indie showcases, the Switch, the Nintendo knows how to do them, because the Switch is such a great platform for indie games. And so there's always a strong indie showing on the Switch, right? Like, when, I mean, comparing it to something like the PlayStation, like State of Plays, I feel like nowadays, whenever a new State of Play is announced, I go into it being like, all right, what we get is what we get. Cool, we got more info on what's the game at the end of the State of Play on, the last one? Little Devil Inside. We got more info on Devil Inside. Sweet. But then it's like, cool, the rest of the stuff is like the Let It Die Battle Royale that they announced, the like a bunch of random games, and a bunch of like Death's Door coming to PlayStation, and then like, you know, a good amalgamation of stuff that you may be excited about, and then stuff that is probably unexciting for most people. I think the Nintendo Switch indie stuff is fairly good in terms of what they decide to show and the justice they do while showing that stuff. So with that, I'm excited for it. I don't know what could be there. I think if I have one hope, it would be for Sports Story, because it's been a while, and that's a game that's been delayed multiple times, and I believe that is slated for sometime next year. I would love to get an update on Sports Story, because Golf Story, I think, was so important to the Switch in year one, and it's just a fantastic game that I love, and so I really want more on Sports Story.
So when you said if I had one hope, my brain started playing Ray J's One Wish.
One Wish.
So first thing. secondly, I do think Hollow Knight, maybe not, but I think that we will get a few shadow drops. I feel like Nintendo is going to be like, we got some games for you to buy going into Christmas. This will basically, you know, give us a nice revenue stream for a little while. And, you know, anyone who's buying a Switch, which is a lot of people, as we'll come to in the next story, we'll have a bunch of, you know, options, new options for stuff to pick up. The next story comes from the second best video game website on the internet. It is, of course, GameSpot.com, written by one Darren Bunthius.
Now, Nintendo's... as we're getting into it, Tam, I do want to say, I'm looking at the story, and we did cover this yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did have this as a new story yesterday.
I looked in the, I can't read, man. I can't read.
That's all good, but man. I mean, we can
the
talk
story
about it
itself.
Just act like they didn't, yeah.
Just act like you've been here before, blessing. The story was going to be the Nintendo Switch sales, which were super, super high, and it does make sense that Nintendo would have a kind of showcase, just because you know, they want to build some hype having going into the holiday season.
Yeah,
I think it's probably too late to actually no, the Switch is still very viable, right? I think we can pivot this story into, we are in a situation where it is still hard to buy an Xbox and a PlayStation 5, which is ridiculous, right?
Yeah, like the interesting thing about hardware right now is that, you know, like when we look at the wide sales of Xbox Series X and S and PlayStation 5, It is like you start looking at the sales dips and you can't compare it to other console generations anymore, just in terms of what the demand is versus what people are actually able to get. Like right now, the new gen of consoles are trailing behind the old gen of consoles by like what those sales were around the same time, right? The second year after release. I've actually not been paying attention much to like Switch availability, so I know the chip shortages affect the Switch as well. I don't know what the demand is compared to what those shortages are. Like, is it difficult to get a Switch?
I don't think it is. I mean, I think it definitely helps that there are multiple versions of the Switch now. If you're just settling for an old or a normal Switch model, I was going to say old school, but they phased out the original model for the new battery life one. But like, I just went to jeffbezos.com and looked at a Switch OLED models, and looks buyable, like easy. No issues.
Jeff Grubb saying his Switch is sold out frequently. Nano is saying only the OLED Switch is what's available. And it seems like people are having... It seems like sometimes you're able to get it, sometimes you're not able to get it, which is better than I'd say for the PS5 and Xbox Series.
I think it certainly helps that there's not a culture of scalping and like trying to grab drops around the Switch in the same That's way true. That is around the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. The S is very buyable. Like, that's one thing that I found. I've picked up an S very easily while I was in the UK, and I see them around quite frequently when I'm in a Target or a Walmart. I think the Switch definitely feels like it is still struggling in terms of availability, but not to the degree that the others are. But it also feels like it is benefiting most from the others really, really struggling. I think like exasperated people are just like, buy a Switch, and Nintendo is clearly reaping the rewards of that. Which, incredible scenes here. I'm glad it's happening.
To bring it back to the topic a little bit of the indie world thing, I think you make the really good point of being able to see multiple games shadow drop because of the Christmas season, right? Like, coming off of Black Friday in November, the Switch being the leading console in November, I think puts that at a place where they're probably like, cool, now that we have this console in way more people's hands again, let's put some games in their hands, right? Like, how can we drive up excitement, especially for right now, where the fall game for Nintendo, well, at least like the November fall game for Nintendo was Pokemon, and going into December, there's not much for first party, because I believe Advance Wars got delayed. I think Advance Wars got delayed. California.com/year.
Yeah, it did.
And so like, if you're gonna fill in a space, right now is the time to do it, right? Like, if you're a new game coming out on Switch in December, I think that is an ideal time to come out and actually shine and probably get some really good sales in the console. And with that, like, I forget if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game has a release date yet. Actually, no, that got delayed into next year, so that's not going to shadow drop. But like, I'm sure we might see that. We might see some more gameplay from that. And like, I'm still trying to like go through my mind of like the Rolodex of what are the games that could possibly shadow drop. And it's tough to think, right? Like, Ollie World, I think, is also slated for next year now. I mean, maybe you're onto something with Silk Song. You know, like,
Silk
I can't think of what
else.
Silk
Song is the only one that I feel like has been in development long enough for it to shadow drop, and isn't like hasn't been clearly moved in a way that's like, nope. But we'll see.
Also, thank you, chat, for mentioning Metroid as well for another fall game that came out.
Oh yeah, yeah, point. Yeah. So I'm gonna pivot to a story that wasn't included in the run sheet. But you may have talked about it yesterday, the Halo updates. Did you talk about that yesterday?
Which Halo updates?
So the Halo Infinite playlist and challenge update is out now. And I'm grabbing this from HaloWaypoint.com. What we have is an exciting multiplayer playlist update. There are new social matchmaking playlists to Halo Infinite arriving today, including Team Slayer, which is obviously just Team Slayer. We'd love to see it. Free for all, Tactics Slayer, which you might know as SWAT. That is Blessing. I know you're not super experienced with Halo, but that is your new favorite game mode.
Oh, dude, Splitgate has a version of that SWAT, I was hooked on.
Yeah, so, and then of course Fiesta. And then 343 said, today's playlist update is just the first step. We know players want even more agency and more variety, and the team continues to work on longer term plans for rotational and core playlists, game modes, and improved matchmaking experiences. Ranked and BTB matchmaking updates. They've adjusted ranked matchmaking rules to increase the priority of close individual skill matches, particularly for players at higher skill levels. We're taking this in stages. The first priority increase took place on December 11th, and the second took place today. Adjusted BTB matchmaking rules to prioritize making matches with lower latency. This will mainly help players in lower population regions avoid high latency matches, which is super cool. And then we're doubling overall matchmaking timeout from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to better accommodate very high skilled players finding suitable matches, particularly when in full fire teams or searching from low population regions. So we've got a nice, and then there's challenge updates as well. Or third overall update to challenges and progression since Halo Infinite's beta launch on November 15th. And they say this one, iterated and tuned, removing outliers and adjusting troublesome entries in the challenges while also helping to speed up overall battle pass progression. So far, we're happy with the results of these changes, but we know there are plenty of opportunities to continue evolving and improving. Today's update aims to further alleviate frustrating challenges, adds brand new challenges to take advantage of the new playlists, and reduces the requirements for the weekly ultimate challenge. And while it won't come into play quite yet, changes have been made for event challenges to help address some initial player feedback. Yeah, so it looks like there's a whole bunch of tweaks being made to Halo right now. I'm super, super excited about the new playlist, and especially SWAT being introduced. Love that game mode, and I'm excited to fire it up. Yeah, you're going to jump in?
Oh, for sure. I'm still on the Halo train, which I'm very happy about. Like, I was actually last night looking through like the stats, because I love that on Xbox you can go through and like see like the hours that you put in and also the hours that other people have put into the game. And I've loved like looking through my friends list and saying like, all right, like, you know, how many hours have I put into Halo versus how many hours is like Snowbike Mike put into Halo? And like, sure enough, Mike has put in a lot of hours into Halo. But
Mike is playing a degenerate amount of hours.
Yeah, like Mike is playing, man, like he doesn't have a job. Yeah. Or like he plays it for his job, which actually makes more sense. But like, you know, I was looking at my hours. I was like, oh shit, like I put in like a good, so far, like a good 35 hours into Halo, which is more than I would have expected if you asked me a year ago. And I also started the campaign last night, finally. And I wasn't expecting to play more than like 30 minutes on the first night, just because like I had other things I was doing last night. I was watching Love Life on HBO Max, very good show, season 2, excellent. But you know, with that, I booted it up, started playing, and you know, I played it until I hit the open world section, which is probably like an hour and a half into the game. And I really enjoyed it. You know, like I think Halo has had such a good, strong launch, and them doing the early launch for it on the anniversary leading into the campaign launch a few weeks later, I think was such a strong move and such a smart move to like kind of extend that longevity of the conversation around it. And how much it's gotten to kind of stay in like the conversation and stay in our minds, especially because it's not coming out around anything else that's like as big, right? There's Call of Duty, there's Battlefield 2042, but there's not really anything that's Halo Infinite that's coming out around this time. And so it's been able to dominate the conversation in a way that I think has been very beneficial to it. And I think them adding in these modes and being pretty rapid about updating and pretty rapid about giving people something to return to and come back to. Like, I'm for sure going to come back to play some SWAT. I'm for sure going to come back for Fiesta, because I had such a fun time with Fiesta when that was originally in the playlist. I think they're treating this game the best that they possibly could. You know, it's not perfect, right? Because we didn't get Forge and campaign co-op and those things at launch. But I think for what we do have, they're doing a phenomenal job of updating and keeping it something that stays interesting throughout time.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a few days since I've played, and like I'm itching to get back in. So I think I'm gonna play some hopefully today, now that the playlist updates are out.
Nice. Now, one thing I do want to throw out there: shout out to Cam Final Mix in chat. Cam said Neon White, talking about games that could shadow drop, and that is fucking genius, because Neon White is a game that's been slated for winter 2021. It's an indie game that's coming out on the Switch. It is an Annapurna game. And if you're not familiar with Neon White, definitely check out a trailer because I think that game looks super cool. I cannot wait for it. But it's a first-person action platformer game with like card mechanics to it with a really interesting art style. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Paradise Killer in the art style. Looks really awesome. And if that shadow drops tomorrow, I'm going to be very excited.
Something interesting that you might know about Cam, surprisingly tall. Add it to the thread, Cam. Add it to the thread.
I love Cam because, one, he's tall. Two, he has great hair. Three, he was at the Game Awards, and he was the other person rocking a turtleneck in Shane. And so we were fun turtleneck bros. He had the
I think everyone should chill about this. Chill out about this tall shit, all right?
What was the final count on the turtlenecks?
For how many people showed up in turtlenecks?
Yeah.
There was me, there was you, there was Cam. Yeah,
Cam.
There was Jacksepticeye.
Okay, yeah. That's the one who
I think
was thinking.
That was the four.
That's the squad. The turtleneck squad is me, Blessing, Cam, and Jacksepticeye.
Yeah, and Cameron Hawkins is what we're talking about, by the way, for people who don't know his username, Cam Final Mix.
A little legend.
You'll recognize him from Podcast Unlocked.
Mm-hmm. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And if you haven't done that, we got some ad for you. Time for some sponsor work.
This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. If you ask me, the holidays are all about winning, whether that means getting the best gifts or cooking the best food. And when it comes to serving up the best holiday meals, especially meat, quality matters. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat straight to your home with free shipping in the continental U.S. There's no antibiotics or added hormones, and each box contains between 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on what you choose. I love ButcherBox. Recently, me and got some of this, and oh man, the steak was fantastic. I just love meat, and ButcherBox makes that love a reality in my household. This holiday, ButcherBox is giving new members one pack of bacon for free in every box, plus $20 off each box for the first 5 months of your membership. That's free bacon for life and up to $100 off. Sign up at butcherbox.com/KFGD. That's butcherbox.com/KFGD. BUTCHERBOX.com/KFGD. Next up, shout out to Green Chef. Green Chef is America's number one meal kit for eating well with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. Green Chef makes cooking easy so you can spend less time planning and prepping and more time eating delicious home-cooked meals. Plus, Green Chef has options that fit every lifestyle. Keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free, giving everybody options from Blessing to Kevin and his family with Paula being a vegetarian. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and between the two of them, there's now something to choose for literally everyone. Both HelloFresh and Green Chef are awesome, so sometimes that choice is a little hard in a good way. I've been loving Green Chef every once in a while. Gia cooks it. It's been a wonder for Cool Greg and Blessing, like I was saying. Go to greenchef.com/KFGD10 and use code KFGD10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. That's greenchef.com/KFGD10 and code KFGD10 to get 10 free meals and free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Next up, shout out to Credit Karma. If you've ever applied for a credit card or personal loan and been rejected, you know how frustrating it is and how dang often it seems to happen. That's why Credit Karma is changing the way people find and apply for cards and loans. Whether you're refinancing credit card debt or paying for an upcoming expense, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you fresh personal loan offers that are personalized just for you. Members who compare loan offers on Credit Karma save an average of 30% on interest rates. That's a lot. It's totally free and easy to sign up for a Credit Karma account with no effect on your credit score. Credit Karma will even show you your approval odds so you can choose offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. On Credit Karma, you can check out multiple loan offers side by side with easy to compare estimated terms. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers with your approval odds right now. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. And finally, shout out to Amazon Music. You clearly have great taste in podcasts because you're listening to this right now, but why not try out Amazon Music? Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, but it's not just podcasts. They also have thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. You can try out Amazon Music Unlimited. That gives you unlimited access to over 75 million songs, plus podcast, music videos, and more with unlimited skips. I have been getting hype for Spider-Man No Way Home coming out, and I've been listening to a lot of the scores of previous Marvel movies from Marvel Studios projects, and I've been listening to it all using Amazon Music. If you've never tried Amazon Music Unlimited, now is a great time. For a limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months, no credit card required. Just go to amazon.com/KFGD. That's amazon.com/KFGD to try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 3 months. Amazon.com/KFGD. Renews automatically. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Damn, your sword is so big.
Right? It's big, yeah. Right? It's cool.
Dude.
Yeah.
How do you carry that around? Like, goddamn.
I'll be back. Oh, yep, crap. Yep. My bad.
We're back.
Story number three, the official Xbox Red Ring of Death poster is now for sale. This comes from the third best video game website on the internet. It is, of course, GameSpot.com, written by Jason Fanelli. And I'm excited to announce that we've had a surprise guest arrive for this specific story, the person we needed. It is Gary Witter. How are you doing, Gary?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Did you get rid of the snakes? Did you defeat the snakes?
I don't know anything about fucking snakes. The power went out. Now it's back.
That's what the snakes want you to believe. I'm glad you're back.
I'm back. You don't need to see me, do you?
No, we can just have you. We can just hang out. You can just hang out.
That works. That works for me.
So Xbox is deep into its 20th anniversary celebration, and while Microsoft has given a lot of attention to the highlights of its past, it also has not shied away from its darker moments. Case in point, this new listing on the Xbox Gear Shop for a poster focusing on the Red Ring of Death, the infamous error display that plagued the Xbox 360 during its eight-year tenure. The print is part of a 7-print series commemorating Power On, the new 6-part documentary series that recently debuted on YouTube. The Red Ring of Death, for those unaware, was an error display on the front of the Xbox 360 where 3 of the 4 lights would blink red instead of all 4 turning green when powered up. The lights indicated some sort of hardware error that would require the console to be serviced or replaced. A 2009 console failure study found that nearly a quarter of Xbox 360 saw the error compared to 10% of PlayStation 3s and 2.7% of Nintendo Wii's having errors. The Red Ring of Death poster is available on the Xbox Gear Shop for $25. Power On, the documentary following the Xbox's 20-year lifespan, is available now on YouTube and features the first interview with ex-Xbox boss Don Matrix since he left Microsoft in 2013. Blessing, Gary, you guys interested in taking one of the biggest gaming L's of all time and turning it into a poster and putting it up on your walls?
Honestly, I think this is pretty cool. I kind of like this. Well, I want to hear what Gary has to say first, actually, as an ex-cast host.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I haven't had a chance to watch the documentary because it just came out. But I did walk around that virtual museum that they did for the 20th anniversary. And you can kind of scrub through the whole timeline of Xbox from the launch up to the modern day. And it, you know, takes in all the generations and all the significant events. And one of the things that I thought was quite admirable on Microsoft's past is that they didn't try to whitewash, you know, or you know, just brush under the carpet some of the more ignominious parts of the history. They do it. They talk about the Red Ring of Death. They even talk about the disastrous launch of the Xbox One and Kinect. And I make fun of Microsoft all the time for kind of pretending that Kinect, what's that? Like, they would rather pretend that it didn't happen. But they did acknowledge it. They acknowledged their failures. And I think that was the right thing to do, because if they hadn't, they would have gotten called on it. I'm not sure about selling a $25 poster. I think it's in the right spirit. It's funny, I was talking to some friends of mine last night, because I was in a Discord with some friends talking about that poster, and I had a friend who went through like 5 or 6 Xboxes, all of which red ringed, and I had a launch Xbox. I bought my day one 360, and I never had a red ring on it. I got incredibly lucky. But it was a very, very widespread problem, as I recall.
Damn. I was working at a game at the time, and I had a system where I would, every time a new special edition console came out, I would do some things and replace my existing one with a new one. So I managed to avoid the red ring for a really long time. Until...
As I recall, at the time they did, they acknowledged it even in real time, right? And they, I think they ate like $1 billion in
a lot
in free replacements for people. What was? Do you remember the thing? What I don't know if it was related to red ring, but what was the whole business of wrapping your Xbox in a towel?
So basically, yeah, that's how you would fix it. Because the issue was like some part of the issue was the heat would cause the soldering to fail. And like it would mess up some of the circuitry. So the idea was you would wrap it in a towel or something like that and put it in a freezer. And that would like reconstitute some of the soldering so that when you played it again, it would work briefly. But it was you were just resetting the clock on it and eventually it would fail again. But right. I remember a bunch of people were doing that to kind of figure it out and get a few more hours of Gears from their desperately.
Yeah, I'm one of the few lucky ones. I never got a red ring, but like I said, I know people that went through several.
Yeah,
I got a big embarrassment for Microsoft at the time.
Blessing, did you get one?
No, because I didn't have an Xbox 360.
Oh, you didn't have an Xbox.
I did have a PS3, and my story is the yellow light of death.
Yellow light of death,
which is way less, I guess, prominent as like a thing to talk about. And maybe it's just because it happened less than the Xbox 360, I got to guess. But it was an issue I dealt with a lot with my PS3. Because when I finally got a PS3, I got one that was like... It was like a already used PS3. I forget what they call it when they take it and refurbish. It was a refurbished PS3 that I got, and it was the OG one. And the reason I got that one is because I wanted the backwards compatibility. I really wanted the ability to go back and play my older games, and so I really wanted the like 80 gigabyte Gen 1 PS3. And that screwed me because after about a couple of years of using it, I kept getting the yellow light of death, the YLOD. YLOD. So I like still just woke up, and so I'm like trying to like get that get all that out of my throat. But that was a huge problem for me, right? And like I ended up having to send my PS3 back and forth, not even to Sony, through like a third party repair shop to get my PS3 fixed. And they would send it back, and then 3 months later, it would happen again. And I kept sending it back because I had like a warranty through that third party repair company. They're like, hey, if it breaks within 6 months or something, then we'll do your repair again for like a very low cost. It was like $10 or something for me to get my repair done again. And so I'll keep doing that over and over and over again to the point where that is now part of my core PS3 experience. And honestly, like seeing Xbox do this poster, I think is actually pretty fun and actually pretty self-aware in a way where, you know, I'm sure for a lot of folks, the Red Ring of Death is part of their core Xbox experience as somebody who is like somebody who's part of the Xbox ecosystem. In the way that like you might get nostalgic for Conquer, or you might get nostalgic for Halo, or you might get nostalgic for, you know, Xbox Live or, you know, Kinect or whatever the thing is. I'm sure for many people, Red Ring of Death is part of the Xbox story. And I think not shying away from it and acknowledging it and giving people something to like as a memorial, I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah,
pretty
I mean, like I said, we give them credit for it, but really, I think it was the only option they could have taken. Had they brushed it under the carpet, they would have got called on it. So the right thing to do was to own up to it and take it in the good spirit. Hey, listen, you know, history of Xbox is great, but you know there were some fuck ups along the way, and you acknowledge them.
Yeah,
and it's also a kind of like a moment where you can almost proudly display it if you're that kind of person, you're an Xbox fan, because you know Xbox is doing really well now, and this is a reminder that like you went through it with them when they were really in the trenches and you were there through, you know, the real lows, and now you are there during the highs. So people who have some Xbox pride, this is a good way to kind of address that. So it makes perfect sense.
If there was a yellow light of death poster, I'll for sure get it. I'll get it and hang it up, because that like that right that alone, I think, invokes feeling in me. Part of it is just like the dread of, oh no, the yellow light of death. Like I have that immediate like guttural reaction seeing that imagery. But also at the same time, you know, I think it's part of the story, right? It's a thing that means a lot to me in terms of like what I was going through in like 2011, 2012. I think it's fine. And also there are a lot of people on Twitter that are freaking out about this, that are like super mad about it. And like, listen, it's not like Xbox, you know, kicked your puppy or like set your house on fire. Your console stopped working. You know, I don't think it's as serious of a thing as people are making it out to be. I think it's like, cool. Yeah. It was an unfortunate circumstance of like them not doing the right work building their console over a decade ago. But like, it's been a decade. I don't think it's as big of a deal anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, at the time, it was clearly unacceptable. I mean, they should not have let a hardware failure that, you know, that serious and that widespread. They should never have let it ship. And in the end, it cost them a ton of money. But yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you know, comedy equals tragedy plus time. Enough time has elapsed that you can now look back on it and laugh. But it wasn't funny at the time.
If Nintendo Switch or if Nintendo put out a like a Joy-Con drift poster today. Not. Then that'd be a different story. I'd be like, yo,
too soon.
Too soon. Like, I'd be like, yo, what the fuck, Nintendo? Like, no, that's not acceptable. If they did it like 20 years from now after like they've completely fixed it, maybe it'd also be a different thing.
And also Nintendo would never do that. They just don't have that kind of sense of humor.
Yeah. They've got no sense of humor and very little self-awareness. Next story comes from IGN.com's Jared Moore. Some Halo Infinite players are suffering a save wiping glitch. This is a rough one. This is a settle in because this might be a slightly worse one. But a number of Halo Infinite players have reported coming across a save wiping glitch in the game affecting both single player and multiplayer gameplay. As reported by players on Reset Era and Halo Waypoint, Halo Infinite appears to contain a bug that is causing players to load into the game from a third person perspective before breaking their save files completely. The issue itself is reportedly affecting both Xbox and PC players and seems to be caused by a login-related bug. Reset Era user 99Humanity reports that after launching the game, they would load into the campaign in third-person mode with Master Chief clipping through the floor. When attempting to head back to the menu and relaunch their progress, the user notes that their save file would fail to load and display as if they'd completed 0% of the campaign. Prior to the issue, 99Humanity notes that they had experienced the Xbox sign-in pop-up prompting them to click Let's Go and log back into the platform. Other users who have experienced similar problems with the campaign have also noted receiving the same prompt. While 343 hasn't commented on the root cause of the issue, it appears that it stems from a double login attempt taking place after clicking the Let's Go option when it pops up in the Halo menus. According to 99Humanity, the double login may come about due to a number of reasons. These include plugging in a second controller, a controller disconnecting and reconnecting, and when using the quick resume feature on Xbox if you had been previously playing a game where multiple users were signed in to the same account. In addition to other reports, YouTube creator Dustin K has uploaded a video to their channel breaking down their experience. During the clip, the YouTuber forces the login pop-up to generate after repeatedly disconnecting and reconnecting their controller and suffers similar issues with their campaign save files. YouTuber also noticed that some possible fixes for the issue for players who are playing the game across multiple devices. As per reports, the double login bug also appears to be affecting multiplayer gameplay. So, although in this case, the issue is causing players to spawn through the floor mid-game, the double login bug isn't the first that Halo Infinite has featured, where reports stem from Xbox user quick resume functions. But last week, 343 warned players against using the quick resume when playing Infinite's campaign, as it is causing an issue that stops multiplayer cosmetics earned in the game's campaign from showing up in your multiplayer inventory. Currently, 343 hasn't specified a time frame for a fix on the issue, though the studio has stated it's working on something. Whew, that is a rough one. I am terrified of that. I did have a double login moment, but I just left it. I didn't do anything. So thankfully, nothing is broken for me. And if it had happened, my campaign wasn't super far in anyway, so I would have been fine. But that is a rough one to have out there for a game that is like so popular right now, right?
It's one of the worst kind of bugs in general to get, isn't it? We all hate losing progress, right? And especially now in the era of cloud saves, I'm nervous about it all the time. Every time my data syncs, it's not that widespread, but a few times since cloud saves have been a thing, I've logged into the game and like it syncs to an earlier save or something because it didn't quite sync with the cloud correctly, and that's annoying. I know Barrett just had a hellish experience with Persona 4 Golden, losing all of his progress and having to kind of MacGyver a solution. And a friend of mine playing Halo Infinite, he had an issue recently where his mid-level save didn't take and he had to go back to the start of the level, but nothing as serious as like losing all your progress. They need to fix that.
Yeah, that's wild. I'm surprised that there isn't, I'm sure that there is a team working super hard on it, but I'm surprised that there isn't clearer communication as to like, here's when we will have that stuff done by.
Yeah. I'm surprised, maybe I've just not been paying attention. I'm surprised it's not been like more of a widespread thing of, hey, don't use quick resume with Halo Infinite, because you know, I started the campaign last night, and right when I logged off, I immediately just put my console in quick resume because I wasn't really thinking about it. I didn't realize that this is a thing until this morning, and so that is super scary, and that's a good PSA for people out there not to use.
I don't know if they've if they fixed it, but on the quick resume has been an issue on the multiplayer side as well. Basically, if you quick resume, if you like walk away from the game and quick resume it later, it won't connect to any lobbies. Like, you have to manually quit out and completely relaunch the game in order to kind of reset the multiplayer. So that's something else I'm sure they're looking at.
Yeah, I've been using quick resume, and when I come back to the game, it usually, like, it breaks. I'll need to quit out of the game completely and relaunch it almost every time, which is, I mean, it's not a major deal, but it is kind of a weird hiccup that you're constantly having to factor in, which, and it is like not ideal in the Xbox ecosystem when this is one of their like coolest features.
I was talking about this on the Xcast recently, you know, as much as the year delay was clearly the right thing. And, you know, I think Halo Infinite now is kind of a poster child for like, yes, you should delay your games. Because imagine what this would have looked like if they'd have shipped it a year ago. It would have been a nightmare. Yeah. So waiting was obviously the right thing. But even with the year wait, it's clear that it went right down to the wire, you know, like no co-op campaign. Multiplayer is great, but, you know, kind of minimal. Like, it didn't ship with a lot of maps. There's a lot, you know, the battle pass. There was definitely some jankiness and several bugs as well. It looks like even with the extra delay, like, they couldn't miss the date again, right? Because it was 20th anniversary, and, you know, they didn't want the embarrassment to have to delay it again. So they had to hit that delayed date. But it's clear that they just, even then, they just barely got the product out the door in time.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird situation to be in, and I hope that they figure it out sooner rather than later. And it's not a great thing to have going into the holiday season or the period where people are going to be playing a lot of Halo. Even that quick resume bug is going to be annoying as hell for a lot of people during this period where they're dipping in and out and, you know, taking breaks from playing Halo to stuff their face full of turkey or whatever it may be. I think it will be quite some time before we get an update on those bugs. But, Blessing, if I wanted to know what is coming to Mom and Grub shops today, where would I look?
You look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Hey, you don't do the jingle? You don't fuck with the jingle?
I can hear it. Can you not hear it?
No, like, you don't like,
I couldn't hear it either.
No. I like to listen to it, and I patiently await for Kevin to do his
Because like Tim was the one that started using the actual pre-recorded tune.
I love the pre-recorded tune.
Yeah, I like
there's
it.
There's something different when it comes from the soul. You know, we get to hear that singing voice.
Do you want to do it now?
No, I mean the moment's already passed. I want to hear you do it.
Yeah, it'd be weird if you did.
I need you to do it now for me, Blessing.
I mean, since you asked so nicely.
Yeah. There you go. Best way. See, I could never do it like that. I got no musical ability, sadly. Out today, we have Clockwork Aquario for PS4 and Switch. Gear Club. There's a period in between Gear and Club, and it upsets me so much.
Gear.club,
Unlimited 2 Ultimate Edition. PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, PC. Something called Among Us? Big Chungus.
Among Us.
Humongous is coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, and Xbox One. Asteroids Recharged. PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, PC. Fire Girl, Hack and Splash. Rescue. Ooh, sounds hot. PC.
That game is actually, it looks pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen Fire Girl before.
I've seen some Fire Girls, but they never seen me.
Oh, that's good.
Greek, Memories of Azure, PS4. That sounded way creepier than I meant it to be.
It's okay. It happens.
Yeah, I was going to slide over and be like, maybe we should pivot from that. Just take it back.
Greek, Memories of Azure, PS4, Xbox One. After I see some Fire Girls, the next game is what I do. Some one hand clapping coming to Switch. Noble Fates coming to PC.
God damn it, Tim.
We now have NVIDIA GeForce update. Lemnis Gate DLSS is happening. Lemnis Gate is now enhanced with NVIDIA DLSS support, increasing frame rates by up to 2 times. Rat Loops Games' Lemnis Gate is a unique turn-based strategy FPS where combat takes place across multiple turns in a time loop. It's a time loop game, baby!
It is.
Requiring players to think several moves ahead to succeed. So if you've got Lemnis Gate and you've got NVIDIA card, hit up that DLSS and make it better, baby.
Time loops are so hot right now.
Yeah. I almost talked about this one a little bit in the Blessing Show about time loops, but I just couldn't find the time to actually check it out. But it looks cool.
Yep. New dates. Windjammers is coming on January 20th to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, Stadia, and PC. There it is, Stadia, still alive. Deals of the day, Dead by Daylight Definitive Edition on Switch is $20 on Amazon. GOG is having a winter sale, and you can get Disco Elysium, the final cut, for $18. Disco Elysium, a good game. Don't you agree?
It's a great
time loops are so hot right now.
That in itself is a loop. Battlefield 2042 for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X is $29.99 on Antonline. I've never even heard of that, but it's there. Big Brain Academy, Brain versus Brain for Switch is $15 on Amazon. That's a dirty cheap.
I know. So we picked that up because it's actually a lot of fun, especially if you've got kids, family, or whatever. I'll give you the recommendation right now. Big Brain Academy, Brain versus Brain is really, really fun. It's really fun to kind of tell. You can do like head-to-head puzzle challenges with, you know, friends and family, and it's actually really, really fun. And I thought, oh, what a buy. $30 is actually, you know, nicely priced as well. So we got it right at launch, and it's already 50% off. What's going on?
I mean, get it while you can.
I mean, yeah, definitely, I mean, for $15, absolutely. I was going to say it's a no-brainer.
I might check it out then.
Get in there.
Yeah. And then
it was on my radar. I might check it out after that recommendation.
Yeah.
It's really fun, especially if you, and the nice thing about it is even if you don't have other people around to play with, you can go online and play against their ghosts and play against your friends' ghosts and do those challenges.
Oh, nice.
I love to play games against ghosts. Leaving Xbox Game Pass on December 31st. Just a heads up, Pro Evolution Soccer 2021 for cloud and console. The Little Acre for cloud and console. Yakuza 0. Play that now if you haven't already. For cloud, console, and PC, Yakuza Kiwami 1 and Yakuza Kiwami 2. Before we move on, we have one more NVIDIA update, and that is for system latency. Starting today, it's a system latency challenge, in fact. Starting today, for 1 week only, the NVIDIA System Latency Challenge, powered by NVIDIA Reflex, will give you the opportunity to find out just how good you can be. You can download Kovax, the world's best aim trainer by the Meta, and try out the NVIDIA Experiment System Latency Challenge. Not only will you get to experience the benefits of latency reduction, but you have the chance to walk away with one of many prizes, including an NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080 Ti graphics card, coveted, difficult to find. To enter, you'd need to play the NVIDIA Experiment System Latency Challenge in Kovac 2.0. Share a screenshot of your score from the leaderboard on Twitter or Instagram, and comment using the hashtag FramesWinGames. There you go. If you want to get better at
Frames wins games.
Sounds like such an one. Andy thing to jump into.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like an Andy saying.
I remember skill wins games. You could put me on a state of the art rig and put Shroud on a fucking 486, and he would still kick my ass.
I remember back in the day when we played Counter Strike. The best way to, like, the smart thing to do was put it on the shittest graphics with the weirdest resolution, so you could you'd get way better performance.
I used to watch PUBG streamers, and a lot of them played with very weird and often, like you said, kind of pared down graphic settings, because they don't care about like how good the game looks. They just want to have the best performance.
They want the most frames because the frames win.
They want the most
games.
Draw distance, most FOV, like those are the things that, and oftentimes like in PUBG, for example, if you had like all of the details on, it would make it easier for other players to be concealed. So they would pull out like all the extra grass and bushes and stuff to make the landscape more bare. Smart. So they could see other players.
Okay. That is what you need to do.
I'd love to get ready. PUBG again sometime. It's been a while since I played PUBG. Yeah. This is 2017.
Let's go to You're Wrong. We've got a new studio founded by Dr. Disrespect, Midnight Society, called Midnight Society, co-founded by Doc and Robert Bowling of Infinity Ward. Cool. Nano, that comes from BG25AE. Nano says, the last Stadia news was that for its second anniversary, it's already been 2 years, you could get a Chromecast Ultra and controller for $22 and other games.
Apparently, I can get it on my LG TV now as like a TV app.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
Like $22? That's a really cheap price for a Chromecast Ultra.
Yeah,
but just for the Chromecast, even if you don't ever use Stadia.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some sort of hook that keeps you giving them more money going forward, though, I imagine.
Well, yeah, you just get out of those. You set a reminder.
Yeah. Haytham says, Hollow Knight Silksong is not confirmed for PlayStation, Xbox yet, only PC and Switch, so that shadow drop could still happen. Advance Wars, Frankfurter says, Advance Wars was delayed from December 3rd, 2020 to April 8th, 2021. Yep. Nanobiologist says, Tactical Slayer isn't one for one of SWAT. SWAT had Magnum and DMRs, which aren't in Infinite. Tactical Slayer has BR only with no sidearm. Nano says, the Red Ring of Death happened 16 years ago, not a decade.
Nano, I need you to take a break.
Like, chill, bro. Chill. We get it. You're doing the thing on TikTok.
When I say
news,
where people did people not have 360s a decade ago that probably had the Red Ring of Death? You know
they
what I meant,
happening.
Nano.
Yeah.
Also, you know, people get consoles late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Another bit of breaking news.
I got the yellow light of death in 2011.
Another bit of breaking news. Obscurus Gamer. The PlayStation 3 and Xbox versions of GTA Online, including website stat tracking via Rockstar Games Social Club, will officially be shutting down on December 16, 2021. Please note these changes are strictly for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions of GTA Online and will have no impact on access to or progress within Grand Theft Auto 05 story mode. So rest in peace, GTA Online, for those consoles. Gone, but not forgotten.
Not forgotten.
You know that. Next week, or this week's hosts are Wednesday, Blessing and Andy. Thursday, me and Tim. And then Friday, Blessing and Janet. If you're watching live after this on Twitch, there is... What you got next? I don't even know.
After this, we have a fun charity stream for Project Hope. That's going to be Mike, Andy, Nick, and Joey. Ooh. And they're going to be playing some Mario Party. And I think taking the SATs.
Oh, yeah. I would fail those. No doubt. If you want to catch that stream later, subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Sometimes it's two people, sometimes it's three people, sometimes it's more. You love it. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at a silver level on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're not subbed at a silver level, maybe consider subbing at a silver level. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, which is Thursday for me, laugh and grow fat.